Down the stretch they come. Final furlong, Grant and Danny reminding you that the sponsor of this program makes it all happen, keeps the lights on, helps Danny keep that beard manicured. The law firm of Condori and Murrah.
Indeed.
They will guide you and your family in the right direction. They will help you to draft a will. They will set up a revocable trust for you if need be. Create a healthcare power of attorney as well. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning team, KMLawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount, KMLawyers.com. If you missed any of our conversations today, rookie lineman Brandon Coleman, cornerback Emmanuel Forbes, veteran left guard signed from Kansas City, Nick Allegretti. Make sure you podcast this show when we're done at thefandc.com. Those discussions, all of our camp fodder today on The Fan, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Danny, does this make me a nerd?
Okay.
I love a kicking battle. And when Ramiz Ahmed and Riley Patterson started booting kicks today, starting from the 40 and 45 yards, 47 yards, it worked all the way back to 55 yards, your boy was locked in. I was salty that I didn't have a notepad to just start checking off make, miss, make, miss. I get up for a kicking competition at training camp. That moves the needle for me. Does that make me a nerd?
No, it's something. Maybe of the sport variety. Maybe a sports nerd, but not one of us, not a dork. I mean, it's got nothing to do with, like magical acumen or having hit points or anything like that.
There's something too, and I can't explain it. The thump of a booted football, like the kick, that initial thump of a guy with leg strength, and then the high booming end-over-end kick sailing through the uprights, in a practice setting, I just get steamed up for. Like, nobody's rushing, there's no blocked kicks, there's no bad snaps. It's just I would watch it, honestly, on social media if I see someone's kicking a 60-yard field goal. I'm curious. I want to see what that looks like. There's that make or miss element where you can see where you're kicking. I've been playing paper football since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I don't know, man. I've just always gotten into, I know you're anti-kicker in general in games. I love that part of football. I like watching field goal attempts and big kicks late in games. The immediate gratification of did he make it or didn't he, it's so much different and easier to analyze than guard play or even a wide receiver trying to get open.
Yeah, it requires more nuance than those other things.
I just love it.
So, but the kicking battle element of it, exciting. Nobody, I don't think anybody else is in that camp. So it makes you something. I don't know what that is exactly. I mean, most of us just want the kicks to go in. I'm not that concerned about he made from 41 and 45 today, and tomorrow he might miss from 52, but it sailed just right, but there was a breeze blowing. I don't think anybody really cares about that. They just want the kick to go in the season. And really what people want is extra points to go in every time. And, long kicks are a bonus. It always seems that everyone else has a kicker that can kick at 60. I'd like that too. But, yeah, to me, the kicking battle part of it, I just cannot get up for that.
I have no idea who's going to win the competition. I do think that the fact that Riley Patterson's kicked in the NFL for three different teams probably means he's going to have a leg up.
Oh, thank you.
Anybody? No? Darius was disappointed, it looked like. I would be if I was you as well. Thank you. I do think he'll have an early lead in the competition because he's done it before, whereas the other guys kicked in the UFL. But he's also been here all offseason. He's been a part of the program. Maybe that evens things out. I don't know. But sign me up for a real-life kicking battle that's wide open where we don't know who it's going to be going in. I'm in on that. That's fun for me.
I'm more of a let me know who wins and don't screw me. Kind of battle guy.
You want to watch who gets the reps?
No.
Do you give each of them a preseason game? Do they alternate in game?
No.
The pressure of the other guy made from 51. Now I'm kicking from 49. If I miss this, I probably get cut. Anytime you kick, that's pretty awesome.
I can't get there.
Okay.
I can't get there. What I want is when the games count, the kick to go in. So You're excited about
this
that process.
This is how we get there.
I get that.
You're doing a Dusty Baker, don't tell me about exit velocity bits. Exit velocity is where hits come from, Dusty.
Which and First of all, it's tough to comp me there. I would have hit Rendon second.
I apologize.
Well, it's nice here. But to me, ultimately, it's one of those things where because I don't appreciate kickers or care about them or think they should even be in football altogether, we should go back to the days where there are no specialists in real football.
You want Nick Allegretti kicking the field goal.
Well, just or an athlete, like the way, you know, the punt pass and kick competition. We don't have that anymore. We have guys that do one or the other or the third one. I hate that. I'd like it for it to be real football again. But for the sake of argument, that kicking process is just, there are too many incredible athletes doing incredible things for me to care at all about who wins the kicking battle, who has a leg up. I can't do it. I just can't get excited.
But it was a good effort on leg up there.
Thank you.
And I do want to apologize again. You don't deserve to be comped to our guy.
Mm-hmm. He's a very nice man.
Friend of the program, Dusty Baker.
I'm the kind of guy who wouldn't double switch out my catcher and have Jose Lobaton get picked off.
That's a wacky.
It's the kind of guy I am.
I want to go around the National Football League with you, but first let's squeeze in Jim, who is in Haymarket on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jim? How
Hi,
are
Jimothy.
You?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing very well.
Very good. Hey, Grant, I know you are going to a nice dinner this evening. Have you run down your selections for tonight?
Ooh, I'm glad you asked. I have not gone over those, no. But, I mean, I always know what I'm getting if I'm going to a steakhouse. I'm going to get a delicious ribeye is what I'm going to do, sir.
Okay.
How do you feel about the ribeye choice over Danny's beloved filet? You okay with that move?
Yes. I think you get two nice flavors for the price of one.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, the question really is,
Jim, it's all about the sides there.
Thank you for the call. The question really is, what are we going to do as an appetizer collectively? And we got to get everybody on the same page.
How many people in the crew?
There's four of us okay. at the Steak of the Union tonight.
Do they have, I'm asking a lot of questions, but yes. I actually am way more curious about this now. Do you have raw bar enthusiasts in this group? Like people that are going to want oysters and like oysters? Because that's going to influence what happens.
I think you came to one of these, didn't you, Darius? Did we do raw bar when we did Steak of the Union?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember there being raw bar.
Because
Darius
so
it would explode if there was seafood there.
That'd be correct.
You don't
yes.
really care about it. So, like, all of a sudden now, if there are five participants at that particular True. Dinner, 40% don't
but
want
I
it.
I love calamari.
Yep.
I want fried calamari all the time. I also enjoy a good lobster bisque. And you know that my good friends at Randy's have a delicious lobster bisque.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a consideration. We often do the prime Wagyu meatballs. So that's probably going to be
Sure.
part of the conversation tonight. But, yeah, really, it's just all building up to the big main event, the 16-ounce ribeye. And the question being, do I go ribeye traditionally, or do I go with the 5-ounce rib cap? The old ribeye cap.
The cap.
Is a possibility. I feel bad about ordering a ribeye cap, though, while I am in khaki shorts. I feel like
yeah.
I can't do, like, if
yeah.
I'm having a rib cap, I need to have a jacket on and some slacks. Based on the khaki shorts, I probably only deserve to get, like, a fried chicken sandwich or something, you know, like
that's right.
I need to do like
you gotta
a hot
go for the pasta menu.
A Nashville hot chicken.
Now the sides at Randy's, they sing a little bit, and I feel like you always lean towards one or two things.
Well, I'm eating steak, so I will be eating mashed potatoes.
Yeah, Are you going to go duck fat fries?
No cap. Charlie.
Little Parmesan truffle fry.
Not going to deal with the fries, and you know, getting cute with French fries is unnecessary.
But they're so good.
So mashed potatoes.
Yep.
I'm going to advocate for the mac and cheese. I think
Danny said.
What did he say?
Joey Meneses isn't a good story. He's capping.
I don't know how that relates, Charlie, but I appreciate
not as much
your input.
Now because he gets the rib cap. He's doing a bit. Is Joey Meneses a good story at Rochester?
I'm going to assume that you were looking for a different button there. Yeah, yep.
He's capping.
Yeah. I know. I'm not capping.
So if your buddies are listening, I'm going to throw
out a rib cap.
Yeah. I'm going to throw out a suggestion for them, and I want you to be overruled. I want you not to have a voice in this thing.
Okay.
The corn brulee with bacon.
Nah, nobody wants that.
But again, I'm talking to everyone else now.
No, but they don't want that.
They need to. That's special.
They can do whatever. I mean, they're big boys.
That's special.
They can have some corn brulee.
Yeah, they do. Shut up, Danny.
That they don't want that. They're there to eat meat and to enjoy their time.
Mm-hmm. Or do these guys have unsophisticated palates also?
Oh, no. These guys
these are grown-ups?
Also sophisticated palates. They're just, read some of those sides. They're really good, and they're better than corn.
Truffle mac and cheese.
Yep.
Corn brulee with bacon. Cream spinach. Loaded mashed potatoes.
Yep.
Duck fat fries. Parmesan truffle fries.
Of course. Not too shabby.
Now, there are other sides, mixed baby beats. Can we get Randy, whoever Randy is, on the phone and be like, could you just throw that off the menu?
I just want to wear dark jeans and a button-down shirt.
I know.
I feel like such a nubber.
Could you have one of your buddies bring pants for you?
I think they're already at the bar. they were meeting at the bar, like, at 6:15.
Now, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to join them in 45 minutes when I haul butt down 395 and around here, the Beltway. All right, it is time to spin you around the NFL for the latest headlines during training camp. Here we go. We start with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. Did you see that he and Garrett Wilson got into a heated discussion, it sounded like, looked like, during a practice? Pretty normal to me, but a lot was made out of it in New York involving Rodgers, as you'd expect. He was asked about the discussion when he met with the media.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's often appearance versus reality in life and on the football field, and what it appears to be might not always be what the reality actually is, as far as whether or not we're upset with each other. We're just passionately talking about the details of a situation that might not have to do with either of us. So G and I got a great relationship. We spend time together off the field. On the field, there's a way of doing things that we both agree on, and when it doesn't look exactly how we want it to, sometimes there's some side conversations that that happen. I love those conversations, though. I mean, it's about the details, it's about winning, it's about seeing what he sees. You know, he's got to get on my page, but I got to get on his page too, because he's got a whole book that I need to fan fully of skill set and ability and feel and rhythm and all the different things that he does out there. So those are good conversations. They might appear to be much more heated than they are, but there's usually a smile on our face afterwards, at least one of us.
Yeah. So I believe a lot of that. I think they probably do get along very well. We saw on Hard Knocks they had a good relationship. Where are the Hard Knocks cameras and mics when you need them now? But I also think they're probably really upset with each other in that moment.
Sure.
Whatever happened in practice. And that's way more normal than the outsider understands and fans would like to be the case. But have you ever been annoyed with somebody at work? I mean, have you ever gotten into it with a colleague?
You ever fought with a sibling?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's going to happen. So probably not that big of a deal.
100% agree. And Rodgers still remains a lot to deal with, but I thought his answer was actually 100% correct in that regard. Remember, Daron Payne and John Allen, you know, mid-game, things aren't going very well. It was Allen put a finger in Payne's face, and they're nearly coming to blows. They're like brothers. They're like great friends. So that kind of stuff I totally buy. Heat of the moment, competitive atmosphere. You want something done a certain way, and your competitive teammate, who's also an alpha because he got to the highest level there is, pushes back. That's normal.
From one excellent young wide receiver in Garrett Wilson to another in DJ Moore, the former Maryland Terrapin, discussing the difference between playing with Justin Fields and now transitioning to number one pick Caleb Williams.
Just, you going, how can I say this? You're going to fight for the quarterback that's with you, that you're going to rock with during the season. So, I mean, Justin is my guy, but, I mean, he was the quarterback last year. Now we got Caleb. He's my guy times two because he's going to be here. So, that's how we're going to rock.
It's a hilarious quote for a lot of reasons. Now, I'm going to put my own opinions on that quote. It's like, dude, what do you want me to say? He was my quarterback last year. I had to say nice things. He's got to be really happy to have Caleb Williams, that skill set added. And oh, by the way, DJ Moore's not alone now among the weaponry trying to make Williams look good. That might be the best trio of receivers in the league. I think it is the best 1-2-3 triplets when you go with DJ Moore, who just got an extension, Keenan Allen acquired via trade, and the draft pick of Rome Odunze is going to be a baller out of Washington.
Yeah, DJ Moore was in the Allen Robinson Memorial tier of never getting to play with a really good passer, and maybe now that changes, honestly. Terry McLaurin's on that podium as well. Hopefully that changes for him too. But yeah, I mean, you went from just alone on an island, toiling away in anonymity in Carolina, putting up pretty decent numbers, to breaking out a bit in Chicago last year with 1,364 yards, 8 touchdowns, best season of his career. Now, all of a sudden, you look to your left, look to your right. They can't only focus on you. A chance at a big offensive year in Chicago.
Former Washington Commanders quarterbacks coach turned Green Bay Packers excellent head coach, Matt LaFleur. He's got a very young offense. They paid Jordan Love. Love has a bevy of rookie contract wide receivers who are all very good. This was Matt LaFleur talking about one of those receivers who's coming into his own at a huge playoff game, Romeo Doubs.
I was saying yesterday just how much Romeo has come along from a rookie when he couldn't catch a pass on him in one-on-ones to now catch a 50-50 ball. What do you think has been the biggest jump in the growth in Romeo's game since his rookie year?
Well, I think that all young players come in this league and there's going to be a learning curve. And I just think it's just how he prepares. He's very deliberate and intentional in the work that he puts in. He takes coaching. You can coach Rome really hard. He's very hard on himself. He expects a lot of himself. But just the where he started to from to where he is now, I think it is night and day. Just his ability to get off the ball. He's a great route runner. He takes a lot of pride in his routes. He's got very strong hands. He catches probably more balls than anybody in this building in terms of pre-practice, post-practice. I mean, he's always working. He's always on the jugs. So I think it's not a shock to me. I mean, the guy puts in the work, and, you know, you're seeing the benefits of that.
LaFleur on Doubs specifically is not overly important in this market. However, I wanted to use that as an avenue to tell you I am high on the Packers right now. Love playing the way he did at the end of last year, growing together with Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Dontavian Wicks at wide receiver. They drafted the two tight ends last year in Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, who's starting the year on PUP. I don't know a team in better position over a 4 or 5 year window with just all guys about the same age who have all flashed over the last year. They're loaded.
Green Bay, we forget, they were a meltdown away from the NFC title game.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, their last four possessions of the game after a touchdown to go up by 10 points against San Francisco, interception, three and out, missed field goal, interception. Just a total collapse. A week after shellacking Dallas in Dallas and getting a couple people, on the hot seat, I would say, after another 12-win regular season leads to nothing. They're a team on the rise. The Flowers are going to the Lions, understandably so, because of what they did do. But, man, Green Bay, it looks like their patience rewarded again.
Taking you around the NFL during camp week number one on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Speaking of former Washington coaches, let's stick with that theme, and Sean McVay out in Los Angeles. It is training camp number one for he and his staff without future Hall of Famer Aaron Donald.
You know, a lot of people ask, you know, would you try to ask him to come back? You know, I mean, if he ever wanted to do that, you sure would be welcoming him with open arms. But I'm just grateful for the opportunity to have worked with him. And more so for, you know, the relationship that we were able to build. He really let me into his life. He obviously changed my life in an amazing way because of the things that he was able to do on the football field. But more importantly, because of the relationship that we had watching the father he is to his four kids, the husband to Erica, the son to his family. He's an amazing guy. He is, we know this. 5 years from now, we're going to be in Canton watching him put on a gold jacket, and there is zero doubt about it. And I think both he and I will be crying.
Oh, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you think he makes it?
Oh, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, that dude, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to say it one more time. Oh, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. It's the first ballot. I don't even know if it's a thing in football. Is there such a thing as, there's no voting, right? So in terms of like public, so it's not a unanimous Hall of Famer. He might be the greatest player to ever play his position. How many guys can say that?
There's a case.
Like, if there is a Hall of Fame of the Hall of Fame, if there is a greatest to ever do it by position, like whatever's above all pro, like all-time list, he might be one of the D tackles. He's just such a, I'm going to miss watching him. I mean, McVay's talking about missing having him around. I'm sure you do. I'm going to miss just turning on the game and watching him take over on a Sunday. I do not know what to make about the Rams. What are they? If Stafford's healthy, you know they're going to be in the playoff mix. That's kind of the end of my analysis. They've still got enough on offense with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, I think. You know, their running back, Kyren Williams, got hurt last year, but he was on his way to having maybe the best season of any back in the league.
That's right.
They drafted Blake Corum out of Michigan, which didn't make a lot of sense to me, but maybe they'll spell Williams with the third-round pick. Who was with the Wolverines last year. Their top two picks in the draft were both D linemen from Florida State and Jared Verse and Brandon Fisk, who are going to play on their 3-4 up front. I think they're a non-playoff team, if I had to guess right now. Probably like a 9-8, 8-9 kind of team. But McVay's such a good coach, you just never know.
Yeah, they're in that range, right? I mean, I remember this one particular, I'm trying to remember how we got access to it. I don't know if it was one of these all or nothings or if it was a Hard Knocks thing. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I remember Aaron Donald was heated about something. It was in game, okay? So whether somebody pushed him or there was some kind of fracas or whatever, and the way he and McVay communicated to each other, where McVay's like, I have to allow you to be mad, but then it was like, oh, okay, buddy, the moment's now over. And like, we was able to move on super quick. And it was like this, you get this, like, you can't just be a hard ass and yell at the guy while he's heated. You had to let him do his thing, knowing that he's such a pro and such a grown up and such a star that he was going to come back and do what he was supposed to do. Like, it was this moment of trust, of great coaching, of mentorship and leadership. And I'm like, McVay's like 3 years older than this guy. And it's happening in that regard. I just remember seeing that and going, A, you have to let Donald be Donald because he's incredible, but B, great moment for McVay. And then Donald, of course, to his credit, snapped out of it, was mad, but then kind of was able to move on and get back to being dominant. What a player.
Last stop for the train on Operation, were you a coach for the Washington football team at some point?
It's a nice tour we're on, yeah.
Kevin O'Connell, who's an excellent head coach in Minnesota with the Vikings. I don't know in the North how the pecking order goes on paper. I'd imagine it'd be Detroit, then Green Bay, then a gap, then Minnesota, maybe something like that. But the Vikings still have a lot of talent. Jefferson, Addison, Hockenson, and the running game should be a lot better. They went and got Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, the former Packer who can catch, he can run, he's a great leader. You know Kevin O'Connell will find a way to get him in the mix.
And I've said it publicly enough, and I know our opponents who tend to tune into the show because of the greatness that you are, okay. They're hearing that we're going to run the football, and we want to establish it. I have a ton of confidence in Ty Chandler. I have as every bit of the feelings towards Aaron Jones that you do. That's why he's here. I did offer to go pick him up in Green Bay and help him get his stuff here as fast as possible when we heard it would be possible. But Aaron Jones, Vikings fans, Skol Nation, everybody's going to fall in love with this guy. Our building has already. He's unique. He's dynamic. And he cannot, be more excited to be part of our team and what it means to be part of this team. And we couldn't get him here fast enough.
Vikings.com, that audio. Record for the Vikings this year.
8-9. I think it's part of that cluttered, because I don't know what Chicago is either. I mean, Chicago's on the rise too. That division is crowded.
I'll say 7-10. I'm just not sold on the quarterback spot with Darnold, McCarthy in year one. But if they can get decent quarterback play and that the fall off from Cousins isn't as substantial as we think, maybe they can hang closer to 500. There you go. Your trip around the NFL on Grant and Danny. All of your camp coverage today provided by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Danny, are you packed up and ready for the beach?
Yes and yes, my friend. A couple things that have to wait till the morning, like my toothbrush has to get used, and then I'll put it in my toiletries and zip it all up. But yeah, we are ready to rock and roll.
A solo expedition for your boy at 2 o'clock tomorrow. One of our good buddies from The Athletic, who's been making a camp tour, Robert Mays, is going to stop by the show
nice. At
5 o'clock, among the other things we've got planned for you tomorrow. So make sure you check us out at that time. Linnell Willingham, who was working hard out of training camp today, is going to come your way next with Overtime right here on The Fan. For Darris, Ryan, and Danny, who's heading out the door on vacation, I'm Grant saying so long, and until tomorrow, Vargas.
Thank you for coming.